Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Yo, I would like to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Yo, I would like to also begin our message this evening with the title. Yo, the title for our message this evening is Why Christmas? Once again, the title for our message this evening is Why Christmas? Do we remember as children? When a dispute popped off between two of the kids, and one kid draws a line on the ground, and then dare the other kid to step across that line? Do y'all remember that? That was a very intense moment for them. And for those of us who were engulfed with anticipating expectation. It was almost as if someone had dragged a stick through the sand, drawing a line that said, that was then and this is now. There has never been an event in the history of man that has so defined human history as the birth of Jesus Christ. And because of that event, we are turning in this evening. We witnessed this in our last year's Christmas message, how that first Christmas, the birth of a child born to an unknown couple in an obscured village 2,000 years ago, it literally drew a line in time. That single solitary event, it has shaped the world like no other. This has shaped how the world is viewed and how people are viewed. This month, in most countries around the world, literally billions of people, they will gather, to celebrate in various degrees, the symbolic birthday of a child who was born, to an unknown couple in an obscured village over 2,000 years ago. I mean, even the most disinterested antagonist, they will in some way acknowledge Christmas, as something special. I mean, even if it's just as a paid day off. When people replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays, they're acknowledging, that it is something special. I mean, if it's a holiday, then what are we celebrating? When we use phrases, like the prodigal son, turn the other cheek, and the blind leading the blind, we are quoting the one, who was born on that day 2,000 years ago. And when we teach our children values like do unto others, and we speak of the golden rule, we are sharing the teachings of the Christ child. When we write the date, we are saying that this happened this number of years since Jesus was born. And sometimes, it's easy to see the big picture. I mean, to realize, that the world, as we know it, exists, with hospitals named after saints because, of the child that was born 2,000 years ago. He taught his followers to care for the sick. Relief agencies, such as the Salvation Army, where world hope and compassion touch the least of these in the world. They do it in the name of Jesus. Because, he taught his followers that we have an obligation to the poor. Most of the atheists, who attack the church, they would acknowledge, that many of them, they received their education at universities that were started by followers of the God that they denied. The world today, it is what it is, because of the birth of a child born 2,000 years ago in a stable, located in an obscured village country, considered insight, insignificant by most of the world known. But Jesus, he didn't come to change the world. He came to change people. The line, that was drawn on that first Christmas, it will radically change the lives of people. Of course, the first people who were changed were those who were closest. Christmas, it changed Mary and Joseph's world. I mean, how could their worlds not be changed? The entire story all is summed up in Matthew 1st chapter 18th verse. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph before the marriage took place. While she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. The couple was engaged. That's normal. From the very foundation of time, men and women have been choosing y'all to spend their lives together in social and legally recognized unions that we call marriage. Your Mary and Joseph are no different. See, we don't know your how they met or how old they were. But what we do know is that they were engaged to be married. You know, they were not yet married. And Mary, y'all, was a virgin. Everything is going well, just the way it was supposed to be going. They were probably planning for the big day and dreaming about their lives together. And then you're an angel. He shows up, y'all, with an announcement that changes everything. It reminds me of John Lennon's words when he said, "Life is what happens to us while we're busy making other plans." You know, just imagine, y'all, what the news meant to Mary and Joseph. Your people would never view them the same. To some, y'all, they would always be, y'all, that couple who had to get married. And they would always, y'all, feel the weight of the responsibility that God had entrusted them with. "This is my son. He's going to save the world. And I want you to care for him. Make sure that he stays safe and healthy. And bring him up knowing about me." And y'all, for 33 years, y'all, Mary, y'all, she marveled at the son she called Jesus and the responsibility that was hers. And to be truthful, y'all, Mary, she probably, y'all, couldn't comprehend, y'all, the plan when she held her son before he was laid in a borrowed manger. And she still couldn't comprehend the plan, y'all, when she held her son before he was laid in a borrowed tomb. But y'all, her words, y'all, were words of trust. In Luke, the 1st chapter, 38th verse, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Y'all, because the first Christmas, y'all, you're the largest church in the world, a city in Russia, and a 400-year-old village in Cape Breton. Y'all, they all share the name, y'all, of a Jewish fisherman. Your Christmas, your it changed your Peter's world forever. I mean, how could Peter, y'all, know that a chance encounter with Jesus would change his world? It was very early in Christ's ministry that we discover your Peter doing what he had probably been doing all of his adult life, which is fishing. You know, we probably think about sports fishing when we think about fishing. Or maybe your since being on the East Coast, maybe we think about your commercial fishing, but y'all, most likely, y'all, it would have been your very similar to the fishing that's still done in developing countries around the world, where you'll see two or three men in a boat throwing their net into the water and then pulling it back by hand. Y'all, their hope was to catch fish enough, y'all, to feed their family and some to sell. Y'all, Peter and his brother Andrew, they were fishermen. They probably were not poor, but they were like y'all, most fishermen. Y'all, they probably, y'all, said they were poor, and they probably were not rich either. Well, they were just ordinary men, y'all, working for a living to provide for their family. Now, y'all, we pick this story up in Matthew, the 4th chapter, 18 through 20. One day, y'all, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also named Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they were fishermen and fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. And y'all, if we know the story, Y'all, we know that, y'all, over the next 3 years, that Peter, y'all, he would become one of Jesus' closest friends. You see, y'all, it was Peter, y'all, who first clued into the fact, y'all, that Jesus was more than just a teacher or a prophet. Y'all, it was Peter, y'all, who walked on the water with Jesus the night of the storm. It was Peter, y'all, who said that he would die for Jesus before he ever deserted him. And it was Peter, y'all, who denied Jesus the night that Jesus needed him the most. And it was when, y'all, he discovered the truth that Jesus, y'all, he's not looking, y'all, for people who will die for him. Y'all, he's looking for people, y'all, who will live for him. And, y'all, when Jesus, y'all, tells Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 18th verse, he says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all of the power of hell will not conquer over it." And, y'all, this is what Peter did. Y'all, because, y'all, Jesus was born, y'all, Peter, he went, y'all, from being a fisherman to the very foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ. Y'all, he wasn't rich. Y'all, he wasn't perfect. But, y'all, he was willing. And because he was willing, y'all, the church that would change the world had its beginning. And from that unlikely beginning, y'all, hospitals, orphanages, universities, and relief agencies have changed, y'all, how the poor, the sick, and disadvantaged were viewed. Y'all, we don't even know her name, but, y'all, we can be certain, y'all, that she will never forget the name of Jesus. Y'all, she had done, y'all, what she had never thought she would have the capacity to do. Y'all, she broke her marriage vows, and she got caught. Y'all, the best that she could hope for would be, y'all, a public divorce and humiliation. Y'all, the worst case scenario would be, y'all, that her husband would insist on her death, y'all, which would be entitled to him according to the laws of the land. But, y'all, most of us, y'all, we know the story. It's told, y'all, in John's gospel. And as, y'all, we get the, y'all, the phrase where it says, "Cast the first stone." And it's where, y'all, we realize that symbolically, the woman, y'all, who's caught in adultery, y'all, she represents all of us. So, y'all, why Christmas? Y'all, Christmas, y'all, it changes our world. Y'all, Jesus, y'all, he didn't come, y'all, so we could have a Christmas. Y'all, Jesus, he didn't come, y'all, so we could, y'all, have a religion. Y'all, when Joseph was struggling, y'all, with what Mary had told him about the angel's message to her, y'all, he too was visited by an angel who had this message for him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And when Jesus defined his purpose and his mission, y'all, he states, y'all, in Luke, the 19th chapter and the 10th verse, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Y'all, that's us. Y'all, those who are lost. Y'all, each of us, y'all, we are born, y'all, with a longing for more. Y'all, we know, y'all, there is something out there, y'all. I mean, even if, y'all, we can't name it or describe it. Y'all, King Solomon, he wrote, y'all, in Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter and 11th verse, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity into the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." Yo, did you all hear that? Yo, he says, yo, that God, yo, had put eternity into the human heart. Yo, that's a desire, y'all, to connect with our eternal Creator, to have a relationship, y'all, with our God. And, y'all, that happens, y'all, because, y'all, he has a child here that he brought for us to bridge, y'all, the chisms that exist, y'all, between sinful man and, and holy God. Now, y'all, let's go back to the story, y'all, of the woman caught in adultery. Most of us, y'all, we know the story. Y'all, she brought to Jesus, y'all, by the religious leaders of the day. And she's brought there, y'all, for judgment. Now, there didn't seem, y'all, to be any doubt, y'all, concerning her guilt. Y'all, the story says, y'all, that she was caught, y'all, in the very act of adultery. And y'all, on that day, y'all, when her guilt, y'all, was beyond question, y'all, Jesus offered her, y'all, two gifts. Y'all, we might remember, y'all, the story, y'all, where Jesus stooped down and he began, y'all, drawing in the dirt. Perhaps y'all crawling the sins of her accusers. And then y'all, he looks at them in John, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. All right, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And they all walked away. And we pick the story all in John 8, 10 through 11. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. You know, because there was a Christmas, you know, there was a Jesus, you all, to save this woman from the consequences of her actions. And so, you all, the first gift, you all, that Jesus offered the woman, you know, it was forgiveness. Forgiveness, you all, from her past. You know, that's a gift, you all, we all long for. Whatever our past holds. And, y'all, that wasn't, y'all, the greatest gift that was offered that day. Because, y'all, Jesus, he doesn't stop there. Y'all, he continues and he says, go and sin no more. So we see, y'all, the greatest gift, y'all, that Jesus offered the woman. Y'all, it was the gift, y'all, of a new future. And, y'all, that is the gift, y'all, that is still offered to us today. You know, the biggest mistake that we can make is to see your Christmas as a celebration of an isolated incident that happened 2,000 years ago. You see, your the challenge, y'all, it's not, y'all, to keep Christ in Christmas. You know, it's to get Christ out of Christmas and allow him, y'all, to change our lives and to change the world. And when we realize, y'all, that the child who was born, y'all, to an unknown couple in an obscured village 2,000 years ago truly is the Son of God. Yo, when we embrace the message that he taught and recognize, yo, that he died for us and rose from the dead, yo, it's then, yo, we're understanding the difference that Christmas made, not just then, but also, yo, right now. Yo, when we allow his grace to become a part of our lives. You know, it will almost be as if, you know, someone had dragged a stick through the sand, drawn a line that said, that was then and this is now. You'll see, but Christmas, you know, it can become, you know, a time and season, a time in the line of time for many of us. So I say to us, you all, if there are those of us, you all, who really believe that we can find tranquility and peace in a satanic world without the love and peace of God, if there are those of us who believe, y'all, that we can reach our goals and reach successful with success and happiness without, y'all, it coming from God, y'all, we believe, y'all, that we can reach the kingdom of God without submitting to the grace of God, y'all, then, y'all, we are really asking ourselves, if we're that bad, we need to step across this line. So I say to each of us, those of us who have found Christ, Merry, Merry Christmas. And for those of us who have yet to find him, it is our prayers that this would be your gift. So I say to each of us, Merry Christmas, God bless you, and have a blessed night. Good night, everyone. God bless. It sounds like it might be okay. I didn't stick that landing.